moment does not belong to them. It belongs to us, the American people. We, all of a sudden, we have this outpouring of people hate police officers and the social divide. Where did this come from out of the last few years? We didn't see this 10 years ago. You know, and so I just kind of stood there at first, and then as the months went by in the last past year to see 200-plus sports players, unless you're bowing to God, you shouldn't be on your knees. You should be standing. My son's body came home from the battlefield wrapped in our flag, and I can tell you, my son was Marine of the Year twice. He was the epitome of what a warrior, a person that fights for everyone's rights. I am so damn sick and tired of people trying to divide white, black, blue, this, that. America represents red, white, and blue, period.
Well, it was kind of a rallying call for social injustice, it started as. Of course, it's become a whole lot more than that today. People are still questioning, what is the root of this, and why are people doing it in the football stands? It's become very, very controversial. The NFL has refused to step up and really hammer down their policy, which was really, as most professional sports is, that you stand up, you put your hand on your heart, you act civilized, you salute our patriots, our military, our law enforcement, our others, and the people who are working hard and keeping the country safe. But that's not what's happening, friends. It's become really, really edgy. In fact, when the president, Donald Trump, stepped into this conversation, a lot of people said, wow. He called Kaepernick and a few other players who were kneeling a son of a bitch. Well, calling Kaepernick's mom, Teresa, had a retort. She came out and said, well, guess that makes me a proud bitch. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Wow, it got hot, and then, just when you thought that story might go away, well, GQ, or some people are actually calling it G-Who these days, named Colin Kaepernick Citizen of the Year, which again, when you have a die-in magazine, potentially, that is what you put on the cover. You get edgy and controversial, because magazines are dying. At least that's what I hear on the streets here. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. This is Malcolm Out Loud here, friends. We have an edgy conversation coming your way on this whole social injustice conversation. Is it that? Is it more or less than that? On our panel today and our co-host today, Susan Price joins us. She's a Gold Star mother. She's a national voice and veteran advocate for justice. I'm sure she'll have something to say about this. Missy Crutchfield is here, co-founder of Gandhi's Bee Magazine and of Gandhi Global Center for Peace. And Sergeant Betsy Smith, she's a police officer for 29 years, a law enforcement trainer for over 20 of those years, and an author, consultant, and it's good to have you all here now. Each comes from a different perspective, which is what will make this conversation so dynamic. So, when it started happening, ladies, and, when I started seeing it early on, I was embarrassed, was my first feelings. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, they're not standing and saluting. And I was really turned off by this. Well, again, I'm a patriot, so I support our military. I support our law enforcement. I support, patriots. That's who I am. I can't hide that fact. And I was a little embarrassed initially to think, wow, and I understand we have what we call, a Bill of Rights. I understand there's an amendment here that says you can do what you want. You can act like a fool. You can act to however you want to act. You can say almost anything that you want to say. But was this the right forum? Was this the place that somebody should kneel down? And what about the possibility that it might be disrespectful? Well, you know where I want to go first with this. I want to go to Missy Crutchfield. And Missy, I want to ask you, because I don't understand. I'm going to just got a full disclosure here. I don't really understand. I try to be respectful and understand everybody's side. And I tried to look at this in many different ways. And I understand Kaepernick's point when he initially started. He wanted to use his career, the sport. But was that the right forum, do you think, Missy?
Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. And that means that we have to act and speak our truth in our own lives and always work to try to raise awareness about injustice consistently are violated and particularly against people of color. And that's what the Black Lives Matter movement is really about. Now, what happens is we get a lot of spin and a lot of reframing from primarily white organizations and mainstream politics or super conservative, and I know we've got a lot of voices today here, women who represent veterans and blue lives, and this, I believe, is completely consistent with that. If you want to get to Blue Lives Matter, which they do, and all lives matter, absolutely, then you've got to make sure Black Lives Matter as well. And if you look at the issues in inner city with our kids, with our African Americans, and often as well with our Hispanics, and the way that gang violence and the lack of access, food, et cetera, healthcare, then we've got to continue to fight for that underdog and lift up all people. And so that's what's happening here in his beautiful way. And I will just kind of end with this, that he has had a privileged life, not just a privileged career in football and celebrity and all of that. He had more than a glimpse into white privileged culture because of his adoptive parents. And he is biracial. So I think he's extra empowered because he's seen the differences and he really just wants to be true and faithful to basically what Jesus was about. Jesus knelt in respect to your point about respect, in respect to the struggles and kneeling to the struggles that he was seeing and that he'd been through. So this kneeling is a respectful gesture, but it is also an awakening gesture.
Missy, but I have a hard time seeing Jesus on the sidelines being disrespectful. I just don't see that in my mind. I mean, you make a parallel to Jesus. I mean, listen, there's a lot we can say about that, but I mean, you say what you say very well, and I appreciate that very much. Listen, I'm all about social justice for everybody, and there's, again, a time and a place for these things to happen, but let's go to Susan Price a moment, and let me just explain to listeners that, Susan is in a very special situation as a Gold Star mom because she lost her son. Her Marine son was killed in Afghanistan. And she paid the ultimate sacrifice. You can't pay a higher price for that, my friends, than a life and your son at that as a veteran. Susan, just straight out, as a Gold Star mom yourself and have knowing everything you know. So when you see that and the anthem is playing, typically the anthem is a rallying call to bring Americans together. And that's typically, you have a great deal of respect. You have pride. Hell, I get chills when it plays. I mean, I get chills in my body when that moment is happening and people are there on the field or wherever it's happening, Susan. What went through your mind? I can't speak about you. I can't stand in your shoes. How did you feel, Susan, about it?
Well, to be honest with you, at first there was no words. There was no feelings. I was numb with disbelief. This is the United States of America. My son had less of a voice on the battlefield the day he took his last breath than the people of the United States, and especially people like sports players who try to use their platform, which I'm sorry, it's disrespectful to everyone besides Gold Star families and veterans, for a sports player to take advantage of that moment. That moment does not belong to them. It belongs to us, the American people. We, all of a sudden, we have this outpouring of people hate police officers and the social divide. Where did this come from out of the last few years? We didn't see this 10 years ago, you know, and so I just kind of stood there at first. And then as the months went by in the last past year, to see 200 plus sports players, unless you're bowing to God, you shouldn't be on your knees. You should be standing. My son's body came home from the battlefield wrapped in our flag. And I can tell you, my son was Marine of the Year twice. He was the epitome of what a warrior, a person that fights for everyone's rights. I am so damn sick and tired of people trying to divide white, black, blue, this, that. America represents red, white, and blue, period. All of us. And that's my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's a powerful, powerful opening statement, Susan. And you know, it's almost speechless to follow that up, because, as you say, you know, Betsy, Sergeant Betsy Smith is here with us as well. And Betsy, when you hear Susan, as a Gold Star mom, speak about her son coming back in a flag itself. And I mentioned, you know, there's an ultimate price here to pay, and the disrespect, again, to our veterans and our law enforcement officers alike is significant. Yet, you know, Missy represents another opinion that says, well, wait a minute, you know, these kinds of injustices are never pretty, and people use whatever means they can to make a statement. But yet I still can't fathom. It's hard to wrap your mind around the fact that they're using this moment of our veterans and officers and people who have sacrificed so much for this country, that that's the moment they use to, you know, to, well, as I call it, piss on the tulips. Betsy, let me throw it to you. And, you know, as a police officer yourself for 29 years, you can feel some of that passion that Susan's speaking about, because you've seen it all on really the battlefield, meaning the streets, correct?
First of all, Malcolm, let me just say to Susan, I'm the mom of a Navy corpsman. And for those of you who don't know, the Navy corpsmen are the medics for the Marines. Mm. So we love our Marines. And I have escorted from the airport those bodies draped in flags to bring them home to their final resting place in the city where I worked.
Wow.
And Susan, what she said was so eloquent, and that her perspective is the perspective of so many Americans who look at Colin Kaepernick and now the NFL. We need to understand that the NFL is snack food, that those men out there making millions of dollars are nothing more than court jesters. They're entertainers. They're not important people. And their opinions, frankly, are unimportant to the rest of us. So let's talk about facts. Let's go back to what Kaepernick first stated when he decided to take a knee. And let's remember, when he decided to take a knee, his career was in the toilet. He was about to be the third string quarterback for his team. Nobody cared about Colin Kaepernick's NFL career at that point. And frankly, when it first happened, I thought to myself, well, this kid just needs to get some attention so he doesn't get released, because he was about to get released from his football team. Let's remember what he said, that there are bodies in the street and people are getting paid leave and getting away with murder. And that's why he took a knee, because our country oppresses black people and people of color. Now, understand, blacks are 13% of the U.S. population. Black males are about 6%. Mm-hmm. And yet black males make up 42% of all cop killers in the last decades. Whose bodies are in the streets? Our bodies, law enforcement's bodies.
Wow.
So the facts do not, there are not bodies in the streets. There are not, police officers do not wake up, put on a uniform and say, I can't wait to go out and murder a young black man today. Hmm. It just doesn't happen. This Black Lives Matter actually started not with police violence, but it started with Trayvon Martin. There was no law enforcement involvement in that shooting.
Right.
But then Ferguson happened. Michael Brown. I trained cops in Ferguson. I train at that academy mm-hmm. twice a year in St. Louis County. Right. I know those cops. Those are good cops. And a good cop lost his career. And so did his wife. Because hands up, don't shoot never happened. And yet we still... And that's where this started in the NFL. Was... The NFL players were allowed to come out with their hands up in solidarity with Mike Brown, who was a gang-banging thug who tried to kill a cop and got killed. Police officer in the United States is almost 20 times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by us.
Okay. Missy, comment on that for me, please, because nobody wants to really get to the facts or the evidence. And those are some real stats. Now, I've seen a lot of stats around that point. And what's happening is, there's a whole conversation that started with Ferguson about hands up, don't shoot, and all of this. It became very, very messy. And there was so much misinformation that the media has done so many injustices to this country, I believe. And they have fueled all of this, I believe, by putting all these misnarratives out there, Missy, and all of that. But speak to the point that Betsy throws out there, please, about young black men. That way, please.
Right. There's a couple things that I want to say first, and that's to Susan. I feel I can't possibly understand what you went through, but I know I led a campaign recognizing veterans when I worked for the mayor in Chattanooga, and it was very, very important for us to recognize the work and thank them for their service. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to spend a lot of time then, and we did, to raise awareness of the most important duty that I believe that our military continue to do and our veterans stand and stood for, and that's keeping the peace in this country. I think we lose sight often of the most valued aspect of what these brave men and women do, and that's keeping the peace. The other thing that I want to say, Malcolm, is I'm honored to be part of this this co-host and with you. I'm humbled to speak on this topic. I don't represent in my color and my culture and my privilege. I'm white. And so we're talking about a topic that deeply goes into minorities and people of color. And, you know, we're talking about black lives and issues that stem from the 60s and the Black Power movement and when the Olympics athletes stood up in the 1968 Olympics. And none of us are of color on this show right now. So I think that we would be remiss if we did not say to our listeners and to the world that we're doing the best we can to represent where we are, what we see. And all of us agree that we're here as Americans and trying to rise above these issues that break down blue and black. And as one of the lovely co-hosts today with me said, you know, red, white, and blue. And you know, I spoke to kids not too long ago, and I said, what's happening in our country with the gang violence? I volunteer and I work in an alternative school here with kids, with youth, trying to get them to turn their lives around, trying to raise awareness that we're all human beings and let go of your anger and work for good. And talking about when this country goes bad, when our country breaks down, it turns into, you know, the red, white, and blue turns into the Bloods, the Crips, and the KKK, that our country is red, white, and blue. That's the courage. That's the things that the men and women have lived and died for to make us great and keep us great. And let's keep our eye on that prize. Now, Malcolm, to your point about statistics, I don't have a sheet of statistics, but we all know that statistics can be made and manipulated to represent whatever. I don't know, you know, we talk about Michael Brown's past and what happened there, but the reason that it resonated so deeply and it was just widespread so quickly is because it hit the hearts and the homes of so many communities in this country where our African American brothers and sisters, our minorities, live and breathe every day in communities that they're suffering, that there's violence all over, and it's horrible.
But Missy, the violence in that particular case came from Michael Brown. If you're going to reference Ferguson, he was the one who caused the problem and tried to do harm to the police officer. You understand?
After
the ones who should have been crying.
After committing a strong arm robbery.
Right.
Let's not forget what he did. He was not on his way to college. He was a thug who neither parent had custody of him. His mother now and father had both made so much money from their settlement. His mother went to the DNC and got applauded on stage. She didn't live with him. She kicked him out. His father had almost nothing to do with him.
He
committed a strong arm robbery and then tried to kill a cop while he was high.
I understand there are wrongs that happen. There's no excuse for the behavior of many people that commit crimes and go to prison. But if you want to look at the disproportionate number of those who are imprisoned, and that 1 in 3 African-American males will spend time in jail in their life, and our Black brothers and sisters are not the only ones committing crimes. Why are they in larger numbers serving time? So these are questions that we need to ask. And what's happening right now with Kaepernick's kneeling, which I don't feel is disrespect, but ladies, I hear your points, and isn't it great that we're Americans and we can feel differently and not worry about being imprisoned or killed for our opinions, and we're protected by First Amendment rights, thank God.
You know, people die for those rights. People die for those rights that you're speaking about. They're very cherished rights. It takes, I mean, what is it, a minute or two that you stand and you honor our veterans and our officers? I just think they're misguided at that moment of time, and there has got to be another way. Now, can we fix some of the injustices? Yeah, injustices happen, you know, throughout existence, and they're going to continue to happen.
But the exciting thing, Malcolm, is that this is rippling up. It's a festering that has been going on in our country.
Right.
We spoke about this on a previous show.
Right.
And thank goodness that all of a sudden on this show and other shows in the media, we're talking about these things, so we can, if we have to fight it out respectfully, hopefully, if we have to argue, if we bring this thing to light, let's.
Well, that's a great point, Missy. I love your courage.
And why hasn't Colin Kaepernick gotten off of his platform on the ball field and gone to the streets of Chicago,
where
there have been mass murders all over that city? And who do you thank for that? Rahm Emanuel, who's part of, behind the scenes, contributed to the George Soros roots and the Black Lives Matters, and all those, the hidden agendas, the shadows, if you will, they do not cooperate with citizens. They're going against the people of Chicago. I have friends that live there in the best neighborhoods, and the crimes are coming out that way as well. So there's so many layers. There's so many layers. But it's already, the damage has been done. Why don't these ball players that want to inflict this prejudice upon people of every color and go do something that's useful? You're a mentor and a teacher. You should be teaching these young children that are watching your football. I have grandsons. They love football. My son was a football player. Do something. Use your platform, you know, to harvest the mustard seed in these children. It's already had an effect where ESPN, every NFL, they're breaking down. It's hit them in the pocketbook because the silent majority has spoken out. They do not touch those remotes.
Yeah.
They don't even bother now. What was entertainment, what was a joy, a day off, has now, you know, have other people doing other things. They're not putting their money in that
bank
account.
Well, let me say this.
We're
going to pause here a moment. This is a very, very interesting conversation here. And I want to say, so for me, football is out. I pray every day they go bankrupt. And I know they're losing fans and people and money. And I celebrate those losses every moment I can. I can't be any clearer than that. We'll pause. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm not seeing what Missy is seeing when she says, well, I hope he's going to unite blacks and whites and stand up for peace. I'm not seeing that. I wish I could see that, but I don't feel that in my heart.
People didn't see that early on in Dr. King either, and then look at later on with his message, and then now as we look at him in history. So these things happen when young people speak out. A lot of times, like I mentioned earlier, it's kind of rough. It's not as rehearsed, and he's finding his voice. And I truly believe in his heart, he just wants justice for all lives.
Well, I mean, it could start with, injustice. And let's have Betsy speak to this point. It could start, Missy, with people, with these young kids on the street, black and white both, being respectful to our police officers. It could start there. It could start without taking out a gun and shooting them, or just some of the basic things that they're doing to keep our streets safe. It could start there where people don't take other lives or threaten other people. Maybe that's a place to start. Betsy, can you speak to that?
Absolutely. There's so much to unpack there. First of all, his quarterback rating, I understand I'm a rabid sports fan. His quarterback rating overall in his career is excellent, but in his last year, it was abysmal, and he was going to be gone. Now, we've got to look at a couple of things. First of all, he was raised in great privilege.
Right.
And until he got with his current girlfriend, Nessa, the DJ and Black Lives Matter activist, he wasn't as woke as people want to think he was. He was just living a life of privilege. Now, she pushed him toward this, and now that's what he is doing. I don't
he's
believe...
He's waking up. Good for him. He's got a girlfriend who's smart.
But here's the thing. I don't believe that he cares about Black lives at all, because if he did, he would talk about the over 600 Black-on-Black homicides in the city of Chicago. Understand, when we talk about Chicago, that's where I was a cop. I was outside of the city of Chicago for 29 years. People are not just getting woke to what's happening in Chicago. We've been talking about this for over 30 years. We've been doing community policing. We've been doing directed patrols. The Black homicide rate has, in this country, has gone up nearly 1,300 people in the last year, from 15 to 16. You know why? You know why homicide over in this country is on the rise? Because police officers are being detrained. In other words, we're not going to get out of the car. We're not going to help people who don't want our help. I'm not going to risk going to prison. I'm not going to risk my life for somebody who's going to turn around and sue me or try and indict me. If you want to talk about Black lives, let's talk about Black on Black crime. Let's talk about why the Black family is in absolute shambles. Let's talk about why young Black people feel so hopeless and so helpless. It's not because of the police.
Yeah. You know, Sergeant Betsy, I didn't realize that you worked in that Chicago arena for all those years. That's very interesting to me. Take a moment for us. I don't want to lose that point here. Why we use Chicago as an example, because it's so in your face with what's happening there. It's ground zero for these kinds of problems. Why has it, and I understand your point of saying a lot of police officers are not going to risk their lives anymore, let alone, you know, going to jail. I mean, they're getting killed. And so the crime is now rising like it is in Baltimore, because they're not engaging anymore. They're not going out of the way to stop a potential crime, which they might have done that before some of this stuff hit them. I mean, you look at the disrespect that happened in Baltimore. Oh, my golly. You talk about an embarrassment. I mean, that, to me, example, just overshadowed this whole thing. That, to me, was even a bigger crisis. All the sticks and rocks and concrete blocks that were tossed in bottles at law offices. I was not only embarrassed, I was so humiliated. I couldn't believe that our politicians and people in power allowed that to happen. That, to me, Sergeant Betsy, was one of the most disrespectful moments in our history. You know that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, understand, and let me just say that I bought crack on the west side of Chicago undercover You know, I have worked in that arena.
Wow.
I have dealt with all of that. So
why is it escalating now? Why has crime gotten so out of hand in the Chicago arena? Why? Why?
There are several things. First, because of the black family has completely fallen apart. Let me just finish. The black family has fallen apart. That's been going on for 30 years. You have extreme gun control in the city of Chicago, mm-hmm. so that people who want to try and protect themselves are unable to do so. Third, there's lots of gun laws, but we don't particularly follow them. When someone gets, a black gangster disciple gets convicted of a gun crime in the city of Chicago, he wears an ankle bracelet for a year. He doesn't go to prison, even though it's a big felony. And also, for the past about 25 years, we have been being taught, law enforcement and actually people in social services and teachers, et cetera, that we have to give the black kids a pass because they are going to be more boisterous, because they don't have a voice, so we can't discipline them the way we discipline white kids. And now blacks are being taught, resist the police, don't cooperate, do everything you can mm-hmm. to make our life harder. And so when that happens, understand that we go out there every day with a badge and a gun, waiting for someone to try and kill us. And we have to prevent that. How do we prevent it? We live in a gentleman's society, if you will. When I walk up to your car and I say, can I see your driver's license and insurance, please? Yes, officer. Well, ma'am, you were speeding. Well, no, I wasn't. We don't argue about it on the street. I write you a ticket. We go to court. End of story. We have a process. That process has been interrupted.
Mm-hmm. We're, as white people, as dominant culture, responsible for so many of these problems. And we can't just wake up within the last how many years or months and say, you know, okay, well, you know, these are problems. Yes, absolutely, they're problems. There's inequality in education. There's lack of food and privilege all over the place in these minority communities. And so we've got to start trying to fix that. And talking about this is one of the wonderful ways that we can begin to address it, to get these issues out. Yes.
It's a mindset. As you're just talking right now, I thought back, my mind immediately went to when I was a young man, when I was a young boy, a couple of my very dear friends who were black Americans, and racism was around us. I never subscribed to it. I never seen it. It didn't matter to me. I had no idea, but it was all around us. I could see, you know, it in the family. I could see others that were very weird about it.
You were a visitor. You were white and in privilege, and that in and of itself you couldn't experience at the level that an African
American.
I have got to jump in here, Malcolm.
Sure.
I'm white, and I was not raised in privilege, mm-hmm. and I'm the white privilege.
Nor was I.
Is. Yeah. Okay. And so I'm tired of hearing about white privilege as though it's a fact. It's not a fact.
Being white is privileged. I mean, I understand.
No, actually, I respectfully disagree.
Just being rich or having, but just being white, you had access to things that actually.
You know, Missy, I don't know about that. Let me tell you, I know a lot of white people who are living in poverty, who are struggling with their kids and families and other things. I'm not sure about that.
Malcolm, you walk in a store and you're African American, immediately, all of a sudden, people are following you and looking, are you going to confront
you? I'm sorry, but that's a tiny percentage of black people.
But
it's a tiny percentage.
And as long as people talk about it, as long as the media capitalizes on it, when it bleeds, it leads, and whatever else, and, oh, look at the faces of crime, look who's wanted, and they skew things, and they spin things, you know, then we become the result. These problems happen because we watch these shows. I mean, good for you, Malcolm, for wanting to boycott the NFL. There's a lot of problems with the NFL. I may not agree with your reasons, but I do agree that we need to look at their motives, including antitrust.
Well, they're tax exempt. I mean, hello.
And marketing their patriotism. Their patriotism, by the way, is part of their trying to avoid the antitrust issues and so on. And then we could talk about the concussion issues as well. But I mean, and look at our veterans. The huge amount of veterans who came out in support for Kaepernick and what he did. This is all about free speech, and I was so proud of that. These groups, these amazing heroes and war heroes and others that are saying, I get this, I see this, and look at how many African Americans we lost in Vietnam.
Why don't these athletes and they're privileged. They're more privileged than I've ever been, or my whole family put together. Why don't they go to the streets and start handing out some of their millions or creating foundations to help these young minds in every state get together, have a forum.
Some of them some of them are doing that, Susan. Some of them are doing that. But I'll say this much to you. I've said the same thing, Susan. I've questioned the same thing. But here's the thing. Had some of these cats got together and started a movement themselves, do you know they could have got all the media press they wanted if they had pulled together a press conference? Imagine that, Sergeant Betsy, right? So you take a group of these players. Now imagine if a group of football players, think about this scenario, ladies. Think about this. Let's say a group of football players came together, both black and white. Wouldn't that even be better? Sure would. Okay. So they come together and they create a major movement and they get the cameras there. They get all of those biased media networks like NBC, CBS, ABC, CNBC, MSNBC, and the whole litany list, right? Get them all together and let them play on what they want to do. Lay out some steps as to how they're going to change the social injustice. How are they going to change the whole conversation of the so-called white privilege? How are they going to go ahead and change the point of what happened in places like Ferguson, like Baltimore, like Chicago, like a lot of these areas? You know, the story even gets more interesting here because I want to say this to you, friends. What about what happened at Edina High School? What's that got to do with anything? Why they're playing taps with our veterans. Yeah, you know, taps. Nothing sacred anymore. And the kids were lying down on the basketball court, playing their phones loud and acting like you know what, right? And so that was another scandal that just happened here in recent days. What I'm suggesting is this. There's a lack of courage. There is a lack of respect and a lack of just common decency that permeates the air. And it's everywhere. And it's coming from a lot of people that are misaligned, misinformed, and misjudged. From, again, I hold culprit. Evidence number one is the mainstream media. They're right there. And I hold them in the first bag in my court of law as being guilty. And then you can take all these facts and do what you want with it. We're going to pause right there and be right back in just a moment. I'll tell you, this conversation, it gets really interesting. For a lot of reasons. Today, it's even more interesting because the three extraordinary women on this panel discussion. We'll continue that in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. You are listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. It is Malcolm Out Loud here, and I got to tell you, we are doing some of the heavy lifting here, some of the topics we take on. You know, it's all over the place. It's social, cultural, political news, the headlines of the day, and everything else in between. It's interesting. Some of the conversation is most interesting because what we're talking about, in full disclosure and in real honesty, is what other people won't talk about. And that's because many of the voices that we bring together on this production and show at America Out Loud. And today I want you to meet Sergeant Betsy Smith is here. She's a police officer for 29 years. She's a law enforcement trainer for over 20 of those years. She's an author, consultant. And also Missy Crutchfield is here. She's co-founder of Gandhi's Bee Magazine and of Gandhi Global Center for Peace. Susan Price is with us as well. She's a Gold Star mother, national voice, veteran advocate for justice. I think now you see why the conversation is so passionate, why it's so heated at times. Because here's the thing. We all come from this at a different aspect of life. Now, I think to Missy's point, she's saying, well, you really don't know because you're not walking in their shoes. And I understand that. I get the whole walking in your shoes bit because I talk about that all the time, Missy. I truly do. And I don't try to overjudge people to think, I don't want to be an over zealous, opinionated nut job that thinks, I know what everybody's feeling. I don't know what Native Americans feel. I don't know what Asians feel. I don't know what Black Americans feel. Hell, I don't even know what white Americans feel because, as you know, Missy, I'm from Pluto. So what do you want from me?
There's a lot of white rage happening. So this topic is very important, and hopefully we can start getting out some of that, as I mentioned earlier, festering, and talk about it. And to your point before the break, when you were talking about mainstream media, Gandhi Global Center for Peace, Gandhi's Bee Magazine, we're always talking about mainstream media and the problems with just buying into this.
Talk about media. That a moment, Missy. What? Tell me what, when you talk about it at the Bee Magazine and all, what's your message about the media?
And we speak about, and I had just mentioned earlier, I was kind of touched on Middle Eastern politics, because there is a connection with the Palestinian Lives Matter Free Gaza and Black Lives Matter and all lives and human rights and apartheids around the world. So, because the West leads the world in media and America leads the world in power and so on and so forth, when we speak out here, the world listens, the world watches. So sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not such a good thing, and you can look at what's happening to people's health because they're modeling after our terrible diets here in this country. But mainstream media is owned, as you know, Malcolm. You just turned down a big offer at America Out Loud for a big sponsor because you wanted to keep this voice being alternative media and being able to continue speaking truth to power. When you are owned by mainstream media, that means you're owned by all of these multinational, big oil, big livestock, big tobacco, big
Talk about that a lot on the show here, Missy. Big business, big tech, big government, right? Big everything, right?
NFL are all part of that.
Yeah.
And the message of mainstream media is to continue, really, if you want to break it down, and I think this could be another show, is to talk about the fear. We've become a society of
totally.
Fear.
Totally.
So they
use fear to separate us is what they do, profit, Missy. Totally.
Exactly, because yes, they profit yes. more by separating us and keeping us afraid than we buy their stories.
Missy,
of
I want to ask you something here. Stop a moment, please. Let me ask you this. A lot of the groups you're speaking about, when you're talking about, and we don't want to get far into the Middle East here in today's conversation, but you talk about the Palestinians. Wait a minute. You talk about the Palestinians. You talk about other groups and the Black Lives Matter and this and that. And so I understand you are rallying call for what you think are I don't know what the right word is, but maybe what you feel is the underclass or people that are not taking a fair share. But, I want to say something to you. A lot of the groups you reference and a lot of the people you speak about in your hope for peace in the world and so on and so forth, a lot of these groups and what have you are right at the center of violence. Why don't some of these groups stand up to really be in a more safe, wholesome environment for all human beings? And why don't they really address some of the problems they're having in their communities? And why don't they get the media to address those? Why is it always about an opposing side where good, patriotic people have to stand up and then we take the hit for being honest and straightforward? Why don't these clowns come out? Tell me, Missy, why? Why?
Absolutely. Then you have to talk about Israel, Malcolm, and that's... And that's a whole conversation.
It is.
Let's do that show. But in history, to speak truth to power.
Truth to power. I know you love to say, I love that those words, and I know you say that. But let me give some truth to power here a moment. When I talked before the break about Edina High School, so why they are celebrating Veterans Day and playing taps for our veterans, and the anthem as well, but taps let alone, which is typically sacred when you've got people in coffins normally is when TAPS is, you know. And so this is in celebration of our veterans. So a group of people and kids and millennials were all over the floor, young people, playing phones loud, being disrespectful, lying down and causing a ruckus in the basketball court. You know, Sergeant Betsy, I don't know if you've seen that story, and Susan if you've seen that story. Yeah, so talk, I mean, like, so when that happened a moment, here's what went through my mind. I said, okay, here we go. Here's another group. Now, they're misinformed. They're miseducated. They don't have a clue of what the hell they're lying down for. They're just being disrespectful because it seems to be the in thing. Now, why is it the in thing? Because this media in this country have made it the in thing. They've made it very cool to be an asshole.
Well, absolutely. And Edina High School, you know, they have their new group, the Edina High School Anti-Fascist, Antifa. You talk to 95% of people who are at an Antifa demonstration and they have no idea what they're demonstrating. And this goes back decades. I have stood toe to toe, nose to nose with these little anarchists who are completely clueless. The difference is now is we excuse bad behavior in our society, and especially when it's bad behavior on the left. We get all up in arms about, oh, the KKK and this and that. But in reality, it's the bad behavior on the left. Way in the beginning of the program, we talked about, oh, the gangbangers and the KKK. There are tens and tens of thousands of Black Gangster Disciples and Crips and Bloods and MS-13. There are maybe a thousand or two people who identify with the KKK. And Susan is absolutely correct when she talks about it all comes back to politics. And quite frankly, it all comes back to the Democrat Party. And that's why Donald Trump is our president, because he's finally a guy who stood up and said, enough.
He's the president that represents, many say, I happen to agree, white rage. And
he got, by the way, Missy, he got more of the black vote than any of the last candidates, by the way, just for the record.
I think he's the president that represents, he mobilized, that's why he got so many white working class votes. He mobilized the white rage.
Well, people were fed up. They were fed up, Missy. They were fed up with the whole political establishment, and they figured, let's put this rebel in there and see. I mean, what the hell could possibly go wrong? The canoe is already adrift. We're already in the middle of the freaking ocean.
I was at a conference on Middle East affairs, and a lot of people who you wouldn't think would say this, but they said, you know, it'll be interesting if he wins, because maybe people will wake up, and they are.
And you know what? I got a point to, you know, something, Missy. I'll tell you something else. Not only did he win, and I was very critical about Donald Trump on radio. Let me be for the record. I wasn't his, you know, I was not a never Trumper, and I wasn't in support of. I'm a factual, truthful speaker in my news commentation, and I was critical of the man, you know, in many of his tweets and words that he uses. I thought were not representative of what would bring this country together. But I'll say this, there's a phenomenon going on in this country, and people are waking up, and I have a news bulletin for everybody. Not only did he win the last election, but I'll make a prediction, he's going to win the next one as well.
I agree, Malcolm. Amen. And I want to also say that there's a lot of people that may not have liked what Donald Trump said, but he won because of the things that Obama didn't say or do. And let me remind you, as a patriot, a veteran, and a Gold Star mother, a mother and a grandmother, I recognize, as well as the majority of the people in this country, freedom is only one generation away from extinction. Mm-hmm. Our children have been indoctrinated by these far left, and we know we were going over the cliff. So,
well, I want to say, Susan, I want to say to you, Susan, let me just level the playing field a moment here, because in my world, in Malcolm's world, and Betsy, I don't know if you agree with what I say here now or not, but let me say this. When you represent, and you represent the far left or the Democrat Party, this or that, I want to say to you, there are some great Democrats, let's be clear. And I think the far right is as evil as the far left, Sergeant Betsy, when we talk about whether it's this. Do you agree with that, or am I wrong?
Agree.
Well,
Agree?
Yeah,
Definitely.
absolutely. But here's the thing.
Go ahead.
The far right doesn't have the platform. They don't have the media. And
Amen.
Quite frankly,
there it is. There it is.
There you go.
There it is.
And
yeah,
the we do not speak up for ourselves on the right. We do not speak up for ourselves. And we laid supine for 8 years under the reign of Barack Obama, and we shut up, and we shouldn't have. And that's why we're where we are now.
As we were talking about young people and the disrespect in young people and the phones and all that, I think now I'm not a quote unquote young person, but what I hear and what I've read is that they don't feel listened to. So whether it's right or wrong, you don't listen to me, I don't listen to you. The more mature, the older perhaps need to say, okay, well, maybe we need to show them some respect and listen to them more, because they're turning us off as fast as we're frustrated and irritated. And one day they're gonna be taking care of us in healthcare homes and retirement facilities. So we really need to think about the future and working together and having a little harmony and showing some respect and
well, listen,
and
Missy, I am good with harmony as long as they don't have a knife in my back.
Right, I understand.
Or a gun to my
face.
There's
a lot of violence in societies, and when our guns aren't as accessible to our young people, and I mean, a lot of these kids in
well,
in
let, the, let me let me finish your statement. When the guns aren't accessible to our young people, they'll use a knife, a bomb, or a truck, or a car, or a melon. It doesn't matter. The guns are not
that's
the issue. It's whatever they want to use that's going to kill us, my friend. It's got nothing to do with a gun.
And I'm so sick and tired of hearing that, because we're patriots. That's part of our rights, and I'm going to fight just for that, to maintain that right to bear arms. And a bad guy is always going to find a gun. I can tell you
oh,
that.
Oh, they don't follow laws. I mean, why doesn't anybody get this, for God's sakes?
Look at the city of Chicago. 30-plus years of extreme gun control, and we're the homicide capital of the country.
Exactly.
So we know that gun control doesn't work.
It's out of control here in this country. But by the way, if you look at the extremists in this country, there's almost no, I think maybe one African American extremist or terrorist. They're the white, the Timothy McVeighs and the Boston Marathons
not
African American.
That's not true. It's just that you don't hear about it in the media. We had what you would call a mass shooting almost every month in the city of Chicago, but it's just gang violence.
Okay,
so
and then to that point,
we had a church shooting where a black man came in and shot up a church, but you didn't hear about that either, because
that's
the media controls
spin.
The narrative.
Okay, to your point, this is media spin. You hear about what they want us to hear about. So when we're getting all upset about how the young black kids or the, you know, black men or whatever are doing, that's because you're not hearing about the white or the others out there that are doing it. We're
but
only
she's a cop, Missy. This is what she does. This has been her life. She's a cop.
I used to sit in mayor's cabinet, and the police chiefs, believe it or not, were very dear friends of mine, several through 8 years.
It doesn't matter. You're not walking the streets.
No, I'm not, but
police,
I heard about it, and I listened to
police chiefs are not police officers. They are politicians.
They have been.
That's right. There's a difference.
They've worked their way up. They've worked their way up the ladder and become police chiefs.
No, you're absolutely wrong about that. Absolutely.
Well, then why don't we get police chiefs on the show too, along with some African Americans,
and the real police officers.
The bottom line is that we have to just like for the most part on the show, we speak to each other with respect. I have tremendous respect for our officers on the street. Yeah. I've read that Colin Kaepernick has respect, that this was just about the rogue police, and everyone knows.
Well, that's why he wears socks depicting cops as pigs.
That's
because he has respect for
it. He explained that was a salute, a wink to the Black Panthers and the.
Oh, is that right? That was a joke, huh? So you wear officers
they
are pigs and with guns to their head and what have you. That's a joke.
I don't agree with that term, but he explained that was about rogue police. He has tremendous respect for the officers that are on the street trying it. And he said that these bad cops are doing a wrong harm, a disservice to the other officers, to most of the majority of the police that are out there for the right reasons, to help the
community.
What about
the rogue politicians that are behind the scenes elevating all these crimes?
that you don't see and hear about. That's the root right there. That's the root.
And the rogue
and the
media,
lobbyists.
Which is the most
And the lobbyists
that's
that
right.
are writing legislation. The lobbyists are
the Republicans. Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yes, so they're not representing the people. They're representing their own interests. They're being controlled by big money, big media, et cetera.
But to say the cops are to blame, that's ridiculous.
They're selling our company downriver. So we're not in disagreement, ladies. We're emotional, which is a good thing. We're passionate about our fields, our expertise, our communities, our people. We're passionate about this country, and that's a good thing. And this conversation is leading to more people saying, wait a minute, let me look with a discerning eye about what's really going on here. Let me step back and question, yes, authority.
I agree, Missy, yes, that's true. But I do have half of my friends are of color, and for one thing that you said earlier about us being less because we're white.
That's not true for us.
We're not fortunate. No, it's not. Being an American, period, is a privilege. I don't get into color because I'm a veteran. My father, a third of my family served. We don't look at people with color. We look at their soul.
And thank
we
you.
We look what they
God
contribute.
You. Thank you for
yes.
that beautiful
I don't need to teach.
Heart.
My and children know this because they've grown up like this. And when our children and our family come home from college and tell us the bullshit that they hear from their teachers that belong to the far left and being indoctrinated, we have to get the ugly stick out and straighten them out. And we have to straighten them out.
Right. We have to straighten all extreme radical views out and
there
bring each other to a point of respect.
Yeah, well,
and
on respect, I hear you. It is about respect. And, you know, bad people come in every culture, every ethnicity, every flavor of the Crayola box has good and bad. It's just as a human trait. And it is what it is, ladies. What an interesting conversation. There's a lot more to this conversation. I could already see, this is not something you're going to solve in an hour's time, but it's interesting to put it all out there and to see how can we get to the end goal. It's interesting to me as I think more about this and I think, how do we solve some of these problems? How do we bring the minds together and are we able to get to some conclusions? Well, we're going to continue that mode right here. Every day, 5 p.m., friends, you'll find the live version. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the encore plays at 11 p.m. And then in Europe, we play 9 a.m. the following morning, GMT time. You'll find us all throughout Europe there for the live show. A couple of days later, you'll find it on all the podcast networks worldwide. Well, we talk about advancing humanity. We're going to continue to do that right here on America Out Loud. Thanks for being with us today. Susan Price, Missy Crutchfield, Sergeant Betsy Smith. This is Malcolm Out Loud. This conversation will be continued.